Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're asking, are markets just calm or are investors being complacent? Now, despite the fact that the US equity market suffered its worst trading day in around 8 months this week, in the main, volatility has been extraordinarily low. We'll ask our expert panellists to explain why, historically, low volatility hasn't been an indicator of future market stress. And with strong earnings growth and broadly positive economic sentiment around the world, can investors profit? We'll consider that question and ponder the ongoing role in all of this of continuing political instability, the likes of which has characterised the last 18 months or so around the world. We start by asking that question again. Are markets just calm or are investors being complacent? That is the debate right now, according to David Lefkowitz, Executive Director, Senior Equity Strategist Americas in the UBS Wealth Management CIO.
We would lean more towards the causes of the low volatility being more about just the fact that economic volatility has been pretty low. I mean, we've been pretty much here in the U.S., very consistent GDP growth channel of around 2%. Over the last 3-4 years at this point, then it doesn't seem like much really moves that needle in any one direction. So at this stage of the cycle, when economic volatility is fairly muted and we're just in the expansion phase, you do tend to see just overall market volatility also tends to be quite low. And that's what I think is the biggest driver at this point.
Now, the last 72 hours or so apart, what explains the generally favourable outlook? Here's Simon Smiles, UBS CIO for Ultra High Net Worth.
We're currently in the midst of the first synchronised global economic growth pickup that we've seen in almost 7 years. Add to that incredibly supportive central bank policy, both in terms of historically low interest rates, but also the massive amount of financial asset buying that central banks are still undertaking, in fact, record levels. And improving earnings. It's a pretty favourable outlook for risk assets. In that environment, with accelerating growth and benign inflation, it's not surprising that volatility is low.
Are markets just calm or are investors being complacent? Is that the debate right now? Well, it was. But then this past few days, US equities suffered that worst trading day in many months. So what does Chris Swan, cross-asset strategist at UBS, make of all this?
For the past couple of months, political developments have really been quite friendly for markets. So the outcome of the French election, the fact that the National Front were defeated, and we now have a centrist, and that removed the threat of a French exit from the European Union, that calmed markets. Really, in the wake of Donald Trump's election, lots of the worst fears that many investors had had about him prior to his election didn't appear to be being realized. So the administration's policies weren't quite as hostile to trade as some had feared. All of that helped calm markets. But in addition, you have this background force, which is that we've been seeing a synchronized recovery in global economic growth. Earnings have been extremely positive. So I think the prevailing mood was to put political risk on the back burner. And the recent events in the United States, the trouble that the Trump administration has found itself in, looks to have been a bit of a straw that broke the camel's back. And I guess the question for markets now is, how long does that last? Is this something that's pretty fleeting, or does the crisis deepen? And what does this mean for US policy?
Historically, low volatility hasn't been an indicator of future market stress. That's a good point, agrees David Lefkowitz.
If you look at the level of the VIX, for instance, and forward returns, there really is no correlation. I mean, what it says is that it's just not an effective timing tool in order to determine if one should be buying or selling the markets. Especially when volatility is low, we don't find any evidence that suggests that forward returns over the next 3, 6, and 12 months are lower than normal. So from that perspective, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is advise people on how best to invest. I would say the takeaway from the low VIX and the low volatility more broadly is that this shouldn't really have a big impact on how you're thinking about allocating your portfolio at this point.
So low volatility, no indicator of future market stress. Is that set fair to continue in Simon Smiles' view?
I think in this environment, yes. Volatility in of itself isn't a precursor of better markets or worse markets. You know, what drives markets is the fundamentals of companies. It's the support from central banks. And again, in the current environment, both of those aspects suggest markets should move higher.
There are important distinctions to make here too between implied and actual volatility, as Christopher Swan explains.
There are two ways that you can look at volatility. There's implied volatility, which is what the market is predicting for future volatility, and that's based on options pricing. And that's been extraordinarily calm. So we've been seeing some of the lowest readings since the mid-1990s. And then there's actual volatility. How much does, say, the S&P 500 move on a daily basis? And again, that's been extraordinarily placid. And there we've seen some of the lowest volatility for the longest period since the 1960s. And the temptation often in markets is to say, well, are we getting a little complacent about what's going on? Are we sort of expecting peaceful trading far out into the future? The research that we've done on this, as you point out, that it's a relatively poor indicator of what's going to happen in the future. So, for example, if you look at 6 months' returns in periods after runs of extremely low volatility, there are no trends that particularly leap out. So those subsequent 6 months' returns have varied between -3.9% and roughly +10%, and that's based on an analysis going back to the 1990s.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll consider what prompts the broad confidence at the moment, and we'll look at where the best opportunities might be for those investors seeking to profit from the underlying benign conditions. So next, we ask, what prompts the confidence in the opportunities out there? Is it the fact that, for example, earnings growth remains strong? Or that economic sentiment around the world, in broad terms, is positive? David Lefkowitz, again.
We try to focus on the leading indicators of the economy and of corporate profits. And those are still pretty encouraging. I mean, the Fed just published its senior loan officer survey last week. And what it showed is that banks are once again loosening credit availability. During the oil downturn, they had tightened up credit standards a little bit. That's now moved into a loosening mode. So that's a very good leading indicator for corporate profits. Other things, capital spending is beginning to resume here in the U.S. It still is slow relative to other recoveries and expansions, but it's beginning to pick up. And leading indicators for the housing market remain pretty good, especially given the fact that demand and housing starts, is still below normal levels, and consumers have a pretty low financing options. So all that suggests that there's plenty of room to run for this economy.
Are the fact that earning growth is strong and that economic sentiment around the world in broad terms is positive key factors here in Simon Smiles' view?
Yeah, improving economic growth definitely is a driver. Central bank support, a driver, and improving earnings. To contextualize, we've just seen US earnings in the first quarter go up 15%. It's the best earnings season in years. Central banks, not only are interest rates incredibly low, convincing or forcing investors to look for higher yielding assets, but you're also seeing huge amounts of central bank buying of financial assets. Through the middle of April, over $1 trillion of financial assets were bought by central banks globally. Yeah, that's a run rate of $300 billion a month. We've never seen that in history. And again, against a backdrop of improving economic fundamentals and corporate fundamentals, it's no surprise that risk assets, both equities and credit, move higher in this environment.
What prompts the confidence in the opportunities out there? Is it the fact that, for example, earnings growth is strong? Or that economic sentiment around the world in broad terms remains positive? The US equity market suffered its worst trading day in 8 months this week. But what would it take to turn that little dip into a rout? Evidence, perhaps, that earnings growth is set to fade? Here's Chris Swan again.
With the United States specifically, the main concern in the United States has been that markets have, to one degree or another, been braced for fiscal stimulus. And that was one component of the stock market rally. That is definitely being priced out of the market. I think particularly in terms of the United States, the question is, does that political turmoil turn into something that destroys confidence? There's already a sense that Donald Trump and the Republicans might have more difficulty than we expected pushing through that growth agenda. But does it turn into something worse? The perception here is that an impeachment, which could be somewhat politically destabilizing, is pretty unlikely. No U.S. president has yet been impeached, although Nixon and Clinton came relatively close. But even when that was happening, it wasn't a huge driver of market. I think the key for markets, assuming that there's no political explosion, the key will be that economic data, the earnings releases, do they continue to accelerate? So at the moment, the Citi Global Economic Surprise Index, which basically measures whether economic data exceeds or disappoints expectations, that's still in very positive territory. So the economic data is still coming in above expectations. Earnings growth is extremely synchronized around the world, and that's somewhat rare.
Political volatility has been a prominent narrative both in the US with Trump and in Western Europe, and it's been the case for 18 months or more. But is the market robust enough to withstand that specific kind of volatility? We asked David Lefkowitz, what's the risk of that political risk bleeding into the market picture, for example, from the unpredictability of Trump's administration?
It is a risk factor. I mean, I wouldn't want to just toss it aside and say it's not something that we should ignore. But I do think that the market tends to get more focused on those non-economic factors when growth is more uneven and more tentative. And just given that we have a pretty solid cyclical expansion going on, low inflation, low interest rates, just generally favorable backdrop, investors, I think rightly, have been putting some of those other types of risk to the side. Now, look, that being said, I mean, there certainly are some actions that the politicians in Washington can take that would be quite disruptive, especially something on protectionist measures and things like that. But for now, I think the market has it right that kind of putting this in the noise category rather than the signal category is appropriate, but it definitely bears watching.
We asked the same question about the robustness of the market in the face of political volatility to Simon Smiles.
Political risk is always there. It's interesting, though. Last year, a range of political events went the way markets neither foresaw nor thought would be favourable. You mentioned Brexit. We had the election of Donald Trump. We had an Italian referendum go against the market-friendly outcome. In each case, though, the market was able to see through those events and said focus on fundamentals and move higher. I think that's educating the views of investors this year. Even when political events went the wrong way, you know, markets weren't derailed. And then if you look at the political outcomes that we've seen to date, they've actually been pretty favourable for markets. It's actually been quite a change this year from last year, be it German regional elections, three in a row now suggesting that the CDU, Chancellor Merkel's party, you know, is in a very strong position for the September elections. Chancellor Merkel continuing to lead Germany and therefore continuing to lead the European project is seen as a very positive market-friendly outcome. The French elections with Macron, the centralist, getting in again, a favourable political outcome. So I guess I'd answer your question two ways. One, even when politics went against markets last year, it didn't derail equities. And then this year, we've actually seen more favourable political outcomes, you know, further supporting the positive outlook for our risk assets.
Finally on the programme, let's take a moment to consider where to look for opportunities, for investors to make hay whilst the sun shines, if you will. That's certainly an interesting question to ask right now, agrees Chris Swan.
We've actually just removed an overweight position in US equities and converted it into a global overweight. So at the moment, it's hard to see a standout region. The news is broadly good everywhere around the world. Valuations of equities in particular, relatively in line with long-term, like 20-year averages on a price-earnings basis. Globally, there are pockets where valuations have become a bit strained. So the United States is one of them. It's trading at a roughly 9% premium to the global market. So at the moment, we think there's a very compelling case for going global rather than focusing on any particular region. And as I said, that reflects the fact that global growth is very synchronized, earnings growth is very synchronized. Wherever you look, there are political risks. And the recent events in Brazil, where the president there is in hot water, underlines that. So global economic conditions are good, but you don't really know where political risks are going to blow up.
And look to global equities as a whole, says Simon Smiles.
So in our asset allocation, we're overweight global equities. We also think US high yield offers a continued attractive yield pickup. We like the euro versus the dollar. We think the euro will continue to appreciate. And more broadly, we continue to put a big focus on impact investing and sustainable investing, both long-term thematics and the asset class as a whole.
And that's Simon Smiles bringing us to the end of this 137th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.